From the Kramer Basketball Headquarters in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you are listening to the Coach's Edge Podcast, powered by CoachesEdge.coach. Here is your host, Steve Kramer.
Welcome to the Coach's Edge Podcast, 3-on-3 edition. This is a small portion of one of our panel Zoom calls that we had a couple weeks ago regarding how we can implement 3-on-3 into our basketball program and have that really build up into more skilled, high IQ basketball players that is only going to help us from the youth level all the way on up into our varsity basketball teams. Our speakers are Josh Rayburn, Ithaca High School in Michigan, and he talks a little bit about how he's implemented a 3-on-3 league at his school during a kind of a break for middle school athletes between sports seasons. And then we talk with Chuck Arnold as well, who is a Unionville Sebring boys high school coach, and he's also a FIBA 3-on-3 master teacher. He gets to work with USA basketball 3-on-3 and other countries around the world and help them prepare for some of their bigger tournaments around the world regarding 3-on-3. And then I share a couple nuggets of my experience running 3-on-3 as our youth basketball winter league as well. So these guys are Coach's Edge members. You want to join CoachesEdge.coach. We have at least 2 Zoom calls every single month that coaches are welcome to join. You get access to our CoachesEdge.coach membership site. We continue to update every single month, and you get access to me. And I'm just somebody who's trying to help you be better. I'm trying to figure out how I can serve you, and I'm excited to have some conversations on if you're interested in joining CoachesEdge.coach, what that might look like and how I can help you this upcoming basketball season. So thank you for listening. Thank you to our guests. Let's get to the show. I have, you know, 2 of the best guests that came to my mind when I, you know, we've been talking 3-on-3 with every year we talk about 3-on-3 with different high school coaches and how they can try to implement some of this within their program to, you know, help their players from a skill development standpoint, just gameplay, keep things competitive. And Coach Arnold has been, you know, teaching me about 3-on-3 now for how many years? And then Coach Rayburn, another Coach's Edge member, has been a person who implemented a successful 3-on-3 league at Ithaca last year. And, you know, he shared some things with me, and I think what he implemented with his program, for sure, very beneficial. And so I think we can learn a lot from both of them. So Coach Arnold, over to you first, you know, with just a couple minutes here, if you could introduce yourself to our guests and also share a little bit of, you know, how you came along with, you know, FIBA and 3-on-3.
Yeah. So I'm Chuck Arnold, and I'm the current USA high school out in the Thumb boys varsity coach. And Steve, I don't know if you remember years ago, I asked you to be on my FIBA 3-on-3 team. You could have played a world tour.
I remember you asking me to be on the tour. I did enough traveling. I turned you down. Yep. I apologize.
You did. But going back to, I used to be a challenger event organizer in Malaysia. So pretty much, I think I started organizing my first challenger in Singapore, I think 2 or 3 years into the start of FIBA 3-on-3. So like we were a part of it from almost the beginning, and had a very small role in part of that process and guiding it to the Olympics. And and then coming back to the U.S., I've had the privilege of working with our U.S. men's national team a little bit, national program. And then this past summer, I had an opportunity to do the MBPA top 100 camps and do the 3-on-3 segment for all those players as well. So had a lot of 3-on-3 has taken me on a lot of really cool experiences.
Coach Rayburn, yourself.
I am the current boys varsity basketball coach at Ithaca High School, kind of in the middle of Michigan here. This will be my 4th year as a varsity coach. And my very first year in 2000, 2001 was COVID. So that was kind of a a crazy year to start your varsity coaching career. I'm just trying to get through the year. And at least in our general area, we didn't have any junior high sports. So it's kind of just dealing with your high school program. My second year as a varsity coach, I came across some social media tweets and pictures about another high school in Michigan. I noticed this coach was kind of running some 3-on-3 stuff in the fall. And it was early in the fall, and it was the head coach at Olivet at the time. I didn't know the guy. His name was Matt. And it was an early fall high school 3-on-3 league. And he just, and I saw the picture. I thought it was kind of neat. And I didn't think too much of it. Get through my second year as a varsity coach. And what I came to realize is our conference for boys basketball junior high and basketball doesn't start till after the new year. And the football end of it is done in October. So our junior high football finished last week. So for any seventh or eighth grader in our conference, in our area, they're done with football now, and they don't have an opportunity to play basketball until January. They can wrestle, they can do other things, but there's a lot of kids at that point that have already made up their mind and what they want to do. So I kind of decided in my second year and realizing all the junior high stuff, I said, I'm going to reach out to Matt and I want to start a junior high league. Give the kids in my school, first of all, as well as the other area schools, a chance to play some competitive basketball between now and January when their 5-on-5 season starts. So I reached out to Matt at Olivet. He sent me all of his information a couple years ago. And then last year I kind of made the commitment and I said, I'm going to give this a shot, see what we get. So I sent the information to my AD and he sent it out to area schools and conferences and any of my connections that I had within an hour or so, I reached out to them. Last year we did it for the first time. It was very successful, ended up with eight teams overall. And I created a schedule. They played every Sunday. You were guaranteed two games on Sundays. I hired a certified official to work the courts. It was very, very successful last year. Not only just from watching the kids play basketball, but selfishly, we had a lot of our own kids in the program play. I think we had five Ithaca junior high teams, which is certainly, you know, to me a big deal. You're getting these kids to play competitive basketball. And we're currently, you know, taking registration for this season. We're going to start up here, I think, in 2 weeks, I think is the first date we're going to go over that. And probably like most of you, I really like the draw to 3-on-3. You know, it's every kid gets to handle the ball. So you got a maybe a heavier set kid that their coaches have planted them on the block for years. You know, this gives them a chance to handle the ball a little bit. A lot easier for young kids, especially to make some decisions in a 3-on-3 setting. You know, you're not log jammed with 10 guys standing out there. It's not the skinny guys dribbling the ball up and down the court back and forth. So from a skill development standpoint and keeping the interest of kids with all kinds of skill development is one reason I certainly like the 3-on-3. And so, like I said, we're currently doing registrations here for the fall season. We're going to start up here pretty soon, and I'm certainly excited for it.
Thanks, Coach. To our coaches that are listening, questions, comments, please put them in the chat as you have questions about how, you know, our coaches here run 3-on-3, have directed at their tournaments. You know, and we'll keep rolling through this next, you know, 50 minutes or so. For those not familiar, Coach Arnold, I'm going to ask you to go over FIBA 3-on-3 and how FIBA 3-on-3, you know, is much different than Red Hacker, Gus Macker 3-on-3s that you and I both grew up love playing or hoop it up for, you know, probably Coach Farrell out on, you know, playing in New York, stuff like that. So rules are different. They're better. So Coach Arnold, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that happens often is we get 5-on-5 guys coming in that are just, and even players that are experts in 5-on-5. And then they come in and try to play a 3-on-3 game, a FIBA 3-on-3 game, and just absolutely get destroyed or picked apart, or they run out of energy, extremely quick. And I go back to like the 2016 World Cup, where one of the first times that the U.S. just threw together a star-studded team of athletes and great players that should have just rolled over everybody, and they lost in the World Cup just because they were unclear on the rules, and they ran out of gas quick, because one of the things about FIBA 3-on-3 is you're going to hit anaerobic levels really quick because of the continuous play and the shot clock. The pace is super fast, and so like if you're not subbing frequently, if you're not subbing, then you're not playing at peak performance, and you're going to get tired extremely quickly. So to get off that rabbit trail and answer the question. So FIBA 3-on-3 is like you start, it's a 10 minute game from start to finish. And there's, what makes it fun is there's two ways to win. Like it's either the first one to get 21, 22, or to be winning at the end of the 10 minute game. And like what we always tell our guys or our teams that play is like, our goal is never to be winning at the end of the 10 minutes. Our goal is to get 21 or 22. Because if you're just trying to outlast it, that means your scoring efficiency is way down. You're probably not going to win once you get to playing those good teams. There's a 12 second shot clock, which makes the pass. It in 12 seconds, like it seems like a super fast shot clock. And when people first get introduced to it, they're just jacking up shots because they think they got no time, because it's half of the normal FIBA 24 second shot clock. But it's not the case. Like once you get into the flow of the game, you realize that 12 second shot clock it's an eternity. And you can see the more experienced guys that understand that and use that to their advantage. It's continuous play. So until the whistle blows, like the ball goes through the hoop. Offense becomes defense. Defense becomes offense. You got to clear the 3-point line before you can try to score again. Other than that, like you get some of the basics. You get seven fouls, and then once you get to that seventh foul, it's two shots. And once you get to 10 fouls, it's two shots and the ball. So, and that's even on a made basket. So you could get an and one on the layup, and if you hit that seven fouls, you get two more free throws. So fouling on the layup, you could potentially be a 3-point play. So that's something that makes it unique. One of the things that's special about FIBA 3-on-3 that, which is why like a lot of the NBA guys and a lot of the high school coaches and college coaches are implementing it, is it really speeds up processing speeds when it comes to being able to flow from one action to the next action. It makes you a better all around player. I mean, we've had G League guys come out and come to some of the training camps for USA basketball, and they end up getting two-way contracts or getting contracts to some pretty big time programs overseas, because it makes them a better player. It makes them a better defender. It makes them a smarter player. It makes them, it gives them the ability to process the skill development a lot quicker.
Awesome. I love it. Any recommendations for like if a coach wanted to run FIBA 3-on-3 with their kids, whether it's teach it for a youth program, run a league like Coach Rayburn is, or just teaching like, hey, this is our style for when we play 3-on-3 during a high school in-season basketball practice. Because it's probably, you know, harder to do some of these things. Have you made any tweaks to it? Like free throws or shot clock or things like that?
Well, really, I think that the biggest thing, the way that we implement it in our high school programs is, you and I were talking earlier, it doesn't matter if we're playing 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, it's always FIBA rules. If we're playing in a half court setting, like we're playing nonstop and continuous, because I want that game flowing. I want our guys processing it at a fast pace. I want the ball moving. I always want it to be an intense workout. So that's probably the biggest thing, the biggest game changer, I think, that if you're going to implement it, just starting off by saying we're not checking ball. If we're doing a 2-on-2 work or something like that, just have them going continuously and then periodically stopping maybe after 5 minutes or maybe after you got a goal of we're going to play to five and then talking through it. Cause there's so many intangibles in basketball. Like there's those periods of time that they just need to figure things out. Like they need to problem solve. And the more that they can do that through playing that continuous play, I think overall they'll end up becoming better players. If they end up, sometimes they just like to float out on the 3-point line and dance a little bit. If they start doing that and not moving the ball the way I want it, then I'll start putting a shot clock in and I'll start counting down 10, 9, 8, and that kind of speeds them up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point to just add that in if the possession starts to lag a little bit.
The one thing I like the most is no coaches. We pull out one section of bleachers. We play on just the two main hoops. I was going to use kind of some side buckets last year, but it worked out better using main hoops. But the one thing that I really like the most is no coaches. These kids are in junior high now. Dads can sit over in the bleachers and cheer them on. Dad doesn't need to be. The kids are on one side of the gym where I'm at, keeping score at the table. Parents on the other side of the gym, and they sub themselves. They got to coach themselves. It's fun just to be able sometimes if you get a decently competitive group of kids out there that kind of have a decent IQ of the game, it's fun just to sit there and listen and watch them communicate with each other and talk to each other, sub each other out. If things aren't going well, you figure out real quick if a kid wants to take him out of the game because he's not a dog in the fight right now. You kind of learn that, especially if it's your own kids in your own program. That's a big rule for me. I like watching is no coaching. And the kids are able to have fun. The one rule I did change a little bit this year, and I'm going to be honest, these are a lot of the rules that were given to me. I didn't make a ton of changes to some of these rules. The one thing we did change, it wasn't in the rules last year that if the game was in 6 points, foul and like shoot one, make one, it was kind of just a continuously check up. And there was a few games last year that some of the teams were getting frustrated because they were within 4 points and they're fouling, but you're not shooting free throws. You're not getting anything rewarded. You just keep. So we did add, if it's in within 6 points under a minute, there's going to be some free throws awarded to try to give the other team a chance to get the ball back. But as far as what went well last year, I do like some of the FIBA rules. We do check up right now. It may be something I want to look into, in the future. I don't know how well that'd go with younger kids, because I know when they play on the playground, they're used to checking up and all those types of things. And I'm going to be honest, I did this last year, not as a moneymaker, just to basically cover costs of the officials. I did make a little bit of money on it. I had some parents that wanted to come in and sold cookies on the side to make a little bit of money. They sold a lot of cookies every time. So it's honestly kind of turned into a little moneymaker, but that was not the intent. The intent was to get these kids to play basketball. And so far it's working. Like I said, last year we had 8 teams. I'm hoping to get some more this year. So, and we did actually shorten the games a little bit. We were running 20-minute running clock. And then they had 10 minutes in between. The officials could get a drink and then we'd start the other game. But I just thought there was too much downtime. So we shortened the games just a little bit with less downtime in between to try to get these teams going. That way, if you play the first game, you don't have to sit there for another hour. Maybe you're sitting there for 40 minutes and then you get up and get back in your second game. So the free back section, which like they talked about earlier, you don't get a free take back basically. I tried to encourage the kids to defend a little bit more when somebody got the rebound, but like I said, I think they're kind of used just to getting a rebound and being able to dribble it out past the 3-point line and then go from there. And ties, shooting free throws. We did have a tie last year. I kept standings and kept a record of all the teams. I ended up giving out small trophies to the team that had the best record. We did have a tie last year in one of our games. We had to go to free throws. And that was pretty cool. The kids really liked that. I think it took like three times through before anybody even made a free throw. I think they were all pretty nervous standing there taking their turns. But that was kind of neat just to see the young kids have to make a free throw under a little bit of pressure to see if you win your game or not.
We implemented 3-on-3 with our youth basketball program the past couple of years, and we run it in January, February for 3rd through 6th grade. And a couple of things that we've done to make it a little bit easier. When we started, we tried to go as close to actual FIBA as possible. And by the end of our program last year, the only tweak that we really made was we put a coach at the top of the key, and they were the person that was like the change of possession person. So if Coach Arnold's on offense and he takes a shot and he makes a shot and I'm on the other team, I would get the ball and I would need to outlet it to the coach at my basket. And then that coach could then insert the ball. So the coach would be somewhere beyond the 3-point line near the top of the key. I would throw it to that coach and then they could insert the basketball back in to myself or my two teammates that were out on the court. And we did that for a couple of reasons. We had kids that were ball hogs and we wanted to make sure, like, as much as you tell certain kids, hey, you know, be unselfish, be a good teammate. If we knew that if a ball, every change of possession, the ball gets outletted to a coach, well, then that coach has the chance to pass it to whoever they like. And there were certain times where the coach can throw the ball to the kid that doesn't get the basketball very often. The coach is essentially like, the coach can't dribble, coach can't shoot, coach can't really move around a whole lot, but they can pass the ball into the game. And so that was something that we added and I think went pretty well. Again, this year, we will try to not do it with the coaches, the outlet, and we'll kind of use that as a safety net because we know that works pretty well. And some of our kids are used to it. So that's a variation that we've added. The coach is essentially like, instead of checking, the coach gets the ball. And I call it a half court fast break. Like if Coach Rayburn took a shot and missed it and I was on the other team and I got a defensive rebound, I could throw it to my coach at the top of the key. And then if the defense hadn't recovered, they could immediately throw it right back to me under the basket and I just take a shot. Now you can do this traditionally with any other sort of, you know, 3-on-3 game, but with the FIBA rules, you can do it off of a made shot, just outlet it to the coach and get it back. And that's a chance for us, again, as coaches, to be able to make sure we're controlling a little bit of who gets the ball. And then the other thing that helped, again, this league we ran was 3rd through 6th grade. So sometimes when the coach caught the ball, and sometimes I was that coach in that spot, I would hold the ball for a second. And it would be almost like a 10-second timeout of just like helping kids get matched up. Hey, remember, you're over here. Right, you're on offense, you're on defense, you know, things like that, because the game is so fast paced that kids can get a little unorganized. So I would almost use that coaching outlet time to get kids a little bit reorganized. Okay, we're good to go, boom, and then I'll throw the basketball in. So that would be kind of a mix of what we would do, but we'd usually go like a 4-minute half, 1 minute timeout at halftime, another 4-minute half, that's game, and then we'd roll another team in. And so all of our kids, even within a half hour, we'd get to play, you know, at least two mini, mini games, which helped teams not to get smoked. Because you might have a team that's going to win like 20-0. Well, there's not enough time in the game to get smoked 20-0. You know, we make the games real quick. And then instead of you showing up and playing one game and going 1-0 or 0-1, you may, you know, go that game and maybe play two or three games. Maybe you went 3-0, but maybe you went 1-2. So there were more opportunities. One of the big things, and this is more my overall coaching philosophy, was I want kids to win and lose a lot. I want them to know what it feels like to win, and I want them to know what it feels like to lose a lot. So when we start to do more and more games, more chances that kids are going to win, more chances that kids are going to lose. And so I felt like that helped it quite a bit. Did it all the way up to 6th grade. Yeah, coach. Yep, we went 3rd through 6th grade.
You put the coach out there for sixth graders?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Because I do when I do my little kid stuff, in-house type stuff, we do third grade, and I really like that idea for the young kids, because I know what you're saying about craziness and chaos, and when we do third grade, it's the same thing, and I really like that idea of a little first grader getting a rebound and they got to throw it out to the coach, and then I like that idea a lot for those little kids.
If we had more advanced older kids, I would say, hey, we're probably good. We probably don't need it. But with this group that we had, our more advanced kids were actually the younger ones. They just weren't physically at that point yet. So it almost, you know, it kind of even the playing scale a little bit. But Coach Arnold, I'm going to throw this one back to you. You know, you've done this internationally, right? You've done this at the highest, you know, professional levels, as far as working with different programs. How are you now, as you know, first year varsity boys basketball coach at USA, going to start to intertwine this with the program itself?
Well, I think it starts from day one, just setting a precedence. Like, I mean, being a FIBA 3-on-3 coach is something that doesn't matter what team I'm coaching, I'm always going to take with me. And it's I tell people this, like, after coaching internationally and coaching under just regular FIBA rules, like, I coach like there's a 24 second shot clock all the time. And so, like, it's similar with having FIBA 3-on-3 is I'm always like, it influences the types of the style of play that we do. Like, I'm not a stagnant coach. Like, I'm somebody that I want a fast paced offense. I want our guys multitasking and processing. So that goes into the breakdown skill development drills that we do, and the way that we break the game down offensively is that, and it starts from the off season. I mean, our guys were doing this, and we didn't have a great turnout with guys showing up, but, you know, we'd have at least anywhere from 3 to 6 guys showing up just to play. And it's just setting up precedence. Like, this is how we play open gym. This is how we play. When we work pick and roll, like when it's time to play 2-on-2, this is how you're going to play. Like, you're going to process quickly. You're going to move the ball quickly. You're going to play continuously. If something doesn't work out, you're going to transition from offense to defense. You're going to get it back real quick.
Thanks, Coach. And Coach Rayburn, I mean, you're running this program during the fall for the middle school age group, but what do you plan to do to kind of keep this momentum going and make it kind of a transition of, hey, we're used to playing 3-on-3 and here's how it applies to 5-on-5 during the season?
It's a good question. My assistant coach gets on me a lot about needing to play 3-on-3 more at the high school level during season. And that's something I need to do. I need to do a better job of.
Quick interruption. We hope you've been enjoying the Coach's Edge podcast. And if you have, well, I really would encourage you to check out our membership site, coachesedge.coach. This is the perfect time to join as we start to dive into basketball season. Check out all the resources we have, whether you're looking for new practice drills, videos, PDFs that you can hand out to your coaches, looking for ideas on how you can start to build culture and leadership with your basketball team. If you're looking for ideas on how you can build your program from the youth level on up, we have a ton of great resources in there and much, much more at coachesedge.coach. Hope to see you in the inside. Let's get back to the show.
And hopefully it comes with a little more experience, not just because, like it's been mentioned, like, it's so much easier to make decisions and reads, and this game is so fast paced that the more bodies you get out there, the more bodies, maybe you have less skill out there at certain spots. And then it just gets to be frustrating for maybe kids that got a little bit higher level, because they're expecting to make a read or a decision on this. And then you've got your 10th kid's on the floor that doesn't know what he's doing, and it gets them frustrated. And so I need to do a better job. My assistant coach gets on me all the time about putting some more time frame in our practice during the week, during the year, of putting some 3-on-3 stuff in there, whether it be some of the actions we're trying to do offensively, just to be able to get to do that. So it's a great question. It is something that I know personally we need to do a little better job of throughout the high school level. It's my own fault. We probably haven't done it enough. But
I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing, Coach. Coach Arnold, for a group that, and again, coaches, I mean, this is an open forum. Put something in the chat if you have a question for any of our coaches as we, you know, get towards the latter portion of our session tonight. But is there anything that for a coach who's on here and they're thinking about implementing 3-on-3 in some way, shape, or form with their program that they should keep in mind that maybe they haven't thought of, you know, like anything that when you first started out doing it, implementing it, boy, I guess I never really thought of that. Maybe that's an additional challenge.
Well, this kind of goes back to that first question too. I think from a coaching standpoint, releasing the locus of control to the players is big. And Coach mentioned it earlier that what he likes about it is that there's no coach on the sideline. And I think we'd all agree, like our better teams are ones where you got players smart enough that you can trust to make decisions in the heat of the moment throughout the game. And 3-on-3 does that because you have to have a high basketball IQ, but as a coach, you also have to sit back and be okay with that. Like you have to, and that's why I was telling you, like when we play increments of games, like we'll play to 7 or we'll play to 5 minutes or something like that. And I won't say anything. Like I'll sit and watch and I'll blow the whistle to ref it, but I let them talk with each other and figure things out. And from a coaching standpoint, like what's kind of nice for me is that I always tell players that there's multiple things that you can do at any given moment, and there's multiple correct decisions. There's not just one thing you could do, and 3-on-3 is an opportunity for them to go out there and explore that. And when we get in a game situation, they may come up with something completely awkward that didn't go according to plan, and we still end up with 2 points or 3 points as a result of it, just because we're continuing to flow, we're continuing to play. So that the aspect of learning how to release that control a little bit and put that trust in your players is better for them in developing that basketball IQ.